Today's scripture reading is found in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 14, verses 28 through 32. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, "This person began to build and wasn't able to finish." Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able, with 10,000 men, to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Please pray with me. Father, as we give our attention to your word, we pray that you would drown out the distractions that we have in our minds and hearts. And we ask that your Holy Spirit would move in this place, move in our lives, Father. Let's not be focused on the people to the left or to the right, or in front or back, but let us self-examine ourselves, Lord, first and foremost. Lord, we trust that you are doing something great in this congregation, and it starts with a revival, and that revival starts with individuals. So, Father, as your word is preached, may you be glorified, for we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Don't sweat the small stuff, right? You remember the book, the original, and then there was so many variances that came after that. There was don't sweat the small stuff for men. Don't sweat the small stuff for women. Don't sweat the small stuff for cats, dogs, frustrated grandparents, the criminally inclined. Don't sweat the small stuff for angry preteens. They just keep going because people keep buying. But I'm here this morning to challenge you on that thought. You see, because I don't think that's very good advice. Don't sweat the small stuff. Now, why would I say that? Because it's the little things that make up the big things. It's the little things that will break you. It's the small stuff that makes up the big stuff. Consider the tiny mosquito. So small, seemingly insignificant, but if you've ever been camping and stuck with one in the tent, it's a pretty big deal. So, luckily, I have a volunteer. I have Robert, who just graduated. So, I'm gonna launch down here for a second. And this is something that I've watched before, actually, in leadership studies. So, I'm gonna bring this over here to the middle, Rob. Okay. And this was done by a fellow, Stephen Covey. And Stephen Covey wrote 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And he wrote another book called First Things First. And so he would do this experiment with folks. You can come on over here. And this is this blue chip container. I hope it's whoever's. It was in the kitchen, so if you're not mad at me. So. And it's filled with some rocks, and this represents our life. And these rocks are small, little, tiny rocks. And these are the things that we go through, and we don't even pay attention to. But then there are these sort of bigger rocks. Now, these rocks represent some of the more important things, like the phone calls we may make in a day, or you can go ahead and put that in there, or the text messages. How many text messages do you send in a day?
Actually, not that much.
All right, I need another volunteer, quick.
Alec.
No, I'm kidding. All right, if you were going to ask me that, it's like hundreds. So these rocks all represent things that are pretty important in your life. And if you want, you can dump those all in there. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Did you get them all? Good. That last one was Mom's phone call. So good thing that was in there. You would get in trouble. Okay. So you see that life is getting pretty full here, right? But nothing in here is, it's important, it's urgent, but it's not the most important things in your life. And that's what these represent. You know, we all have things that are really, really important, and these are the big rocks. And so these are the three F's. So this is your, let's say, your family. Now, you want to make sure that you dig that down in there because it's important. Can you work on that? Okay. Now, your friends. The biggest rock is your faith. Having a little trouble, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. So, round of applause. Thank you. High five. Good job. Have a seat. I'm going to leave this right here as a visual illustration of why you must put the first things, keep the first things first in your life. If you want to accomplish this task, the very, very first thing that needs to happen is the big things need to go in first. And then once the big things are in, then you can fill in the rest. And you'll be amazed at how they all fit in. But you have to make a distinction of what's the important thing versus what's the urgent. And if you don't start with the big things in your life, your faith, your family, your friends, and maybe you can have a few other big rocks like your work, then if you start like this, you're going to be in trouble. That's why you should sweat the small things, because the small things make up the big things. So you have to prioritize your life. And that's what Jesus is partly talking about here in Luke chapter 14. But I just want to talk a little bit more about this principle with you all. Because if you want to have a fulfilled life, if you want to have a life that is happy, then you must prioritize your life around the important things first, so that the unimportant things do not make you miserable. And this is something that's sort of a secret that all successful men and women have discovered over the years. Listen to what Ben Franklin had to say. Would you live with ease, do what you ought, and not what you please? Jesus said in the 16th chapter of Luke, whoever is faithful with the very little will also be faithful with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. Friends, it's the small things that make up the big things. Here's an example in American history. The night that Abraham Lincoln was assassinated, John Parker, his bodyguard, he took a break during intermission. He took a break to go have some drinks with the coachman. Maybe a few minutes, maybe 10 minutes. It was a short break. And it was during that time that Booth slipped in and shot Lincoln at point-blank range. So think about it. Taking a short break to have a drink, small thing. Having the 16th president of the United States assassinated and changing the course of American history, big thing. It's the small things that we should sweat, because the small things make up the big things. Now let's look at the 14th chapter of Luke. Jesus gives some telling illustrations. Which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has done enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. The first example that Jesus gives is someone that's constructing a tower. And you and I have seen this before. You know, you're out driving around and you see a building that is just not complete because the company ran out of money halfway through. And Jesus says, look, what's your end goal? To build the tower. So you must sit down and calculate all the small things that go into building that tower, or else it will end up humiliating for yourself. And then he gives another example. He talks about a king going to battle. Will he not first sit down and take counsel whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks of terms of peace. The second example is a king at battle. If you're going to go to war against an army that's larger than yours, you have to sit down and think about the details, the nitty-gritty. Because what's the end goal? To win the victory. And if you don't think about the small things, you will again end up humiliated. And then Jesus brings this home with something that we all struggle with. And I'm going to read you the rest of the passage. So therefore, in verse 33, no one of you can be my disciple who does not give up all of his possessions. Therefore, salt is good. But if even salt has become tasteless, with what will it be seasoned? And Jesus says earlier in the passage something that's very challenging to all of us. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Well, what is this about? It's such strong language. We hear the word hate, and then we hear words like hating mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, even your own life. If we unpack this a little bit, we see that first and foremost, Jesus is making a point. And like all great teachers, he finds a way to make his point. And so what he's doing is he's using exaggerations to make a point. And he says that if you're going to be my disciple, the way in which you love me, it will almost look like you hate your mother and your father. It will almost look like you hate your brother and your sister. Why is that? Because Jesus is the big rock. Our faith is the big rock. And so at the end of the day, when we make a decision, our final decision should be made upon God's word. And sometimes that brings a conflict in our families. And Jesus says, in those moments, if you are my disciple, it's going to look like you almost hate the person because of how much you love me. And just as it is with the builder, whose goal is to complete the project, and just as it is with the king, whose goal is to win the war, Jesus is saying, you have one big goal, and that's to be my disciple, to follow me and put me first in all things. Now, friends, I have the opportunity to preach the gospel right now. And why is that? Because if you're honest with yourself, you're going to say, I fail. I can't do this. Lord, forgive me. And friends, that's the gospel. Because there's not one person in this room that I know of that loves Jesus so much and puts him first in every account that it almost would look like, it would seem like, we almost hate our mother and father and brothers and sisters. We may do that at times, but not consistently. And this is where the gospel comes in. We must rely on Jesus. When we do that, we have to run back to him. And we have to say, I'm sorry. I want to put you first, but I've messed up. And you can be honest with the Lord, because we're not fooling anybody. And that comes back to our prayer life. If we're honest with ourselves, we can be honest with God. Last night, for some reason, I just could not sleep. And here's what my prayer life looked like. I need to be more passionate for you. I need more fire in my belly. I want to have a stronger prayer life. Lord, sometimes I feel disconnected from you. And I don't like to feel that way. It's okay. You can be honest with him. He's a good father. So when you are living in a way that's not putting him first, when your rocks are all out of whack, you can be honest with him because he's good and he loves you and he'll help you along the way. So the first thing that I challenge people with is this. See, you must know what your priorities are. There are a lot of us who do not know what our priorities are. And this is really important for our graduates. You know, you have to figure out, what are my big rocks? Now, you don't want to do this when you're 40, 50, 60, 70 years old. You want to do this right now. You want to know what your big rocks are. Those become your priorities. Your family, your faith, your friends, your future career. You need to know what they are, and you need to hold on to them. You need to guard them. And a lot of us are confused on this. And so I'd like to introduce to you a simple concept called the compass and the watch that will help guide us on our path. The compass and the watch. Now, what is this about? Your compass in life is your big picture. If you were to get on a ship, you have a compass. It doesn't tell you all the details. It just tells you if you're headed in the right direction. Think big picture. Your watch, on the other hand, gives you your day-to-day, moment-to-moment activities. So what does this mean? Your compass is your values. Your compass is your values. Those are the big rocks. Your watch is your day-to-day, moment-to-moment activities. So I'll give you an illustration. My compass tells me I want to be a great parent. I want to be the best parent that I can. That's a value of mine. But if I look at my watch, in other words, if I live my life in a way that's inconsistent with my compass, if I never see my kids, I'm out of whack. My watch and my compass are out of whack. And that causes inner conflict in me. Here's another one. Compass. Big picture. I want to be healthy. But how do I live my life every moment of every day? Am I eating 1, 2, 3 donuts Sunday morning? If so, my watch is telling me I'm out of whack with my compass. And you know what that causes? Conflict, doesn't it? It causes turmoil because my big picture goals are out of whack with the way that I live my life every day. So you must decide, first and foremost, what are your priorities? And then once you figure them out, you must live in a way that puts those priorities first. Do you want to know why so many people are unhappy today? It's because their compass and their watch are out of whack. There's no alignment. And that's why it's so important for you seniors to learn this now. You want to know what your priorities are, and you want to hold on to them, and you want to guard them. So after you figure out what your priorities are, you must do everything you can to guard it, to protect it. You see, that's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying you must, in a sense, forsake everything else, the watch, for your biggest priority, Jesus. That's the big rock. And this is not only just personally, this is organizationally. This applies to the church or even your own business. We see a beautiful example of this in the book of Acts, in the 6th chapter. Now, at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of the food. So there was a problem. The church was growing, and there were certain groups that were being neglected. So verse 2, the 12 disciples summoned the congregation, and they said, "Listen, it is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables." So they selected from among the congregation brethren who were full of the Holy Spirit, had good reputation, full of wisdom, so on and so forth. And in verse 6 it says, "And these brought before the apostles, and after praying and laying hands on them, the word of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to grow." But what do I want you to notice here? The disciples knew that they had a special and select calling from God. And if you look here, it's here. They actually say, we don't want to overlook for the serving of tables two things, prayer and the preaching of the word. In other words, I know that I could get involved in all of those other things, but if I do, things will suffer, notably spiritual matters and preaching of the word. Now, what is that about? That's about knowing what the big rocks are. So you can have a choice. You can either do a lot of things good or some things great. And the disciples understood that. What amazing wisdom found in the scripture. It's all here, friends. And this goes back to your own life. What are the big rocks in your life? What do you need to hold on to and protect? And I can tell you that applies to my own life here. You know, just walking around for about a month and a half, I noticed so many things that could or should be done. And you know what I say to myself? If I do them all, then other things will suffer. Other things will suffer. I'll give you another example of deciding what the big rocks are. Back in college, let's back up. When I was in high school, I wasn't the best performer. They let me into college. Some, like a miracle happened. And when I got to college, I was so passionate about following Jesus. And all of my core classes, youth ministry, preaching, teaching, any of those kind of those classes, I just excelled in. I mean, it was just nothing. But I struggled in math, or whatever that 2 + 2, is that math? Yeah. All of those classes that I should have been paying attention to in high school were coming back to haunt me. And this is true. When the weekends would hit, the entire dorm was empty. It was like a Western movie. Tumbleweeds would go flying by. I was almost the only guy in the dorm. But do you know why I was there? Because my big rock said, I need to put God first and put my studies on top of the list in order to graduate. And so the small rocks would have been, let's get popular, let's go out and have fun, let's do this, that, and the other thing. But the big rock said, sit down in the dorm on Friday and Saturday and study. Set up times with tutors and study. And that's what I had to do to make it. And that's putting first things first. It's making a decision on what the big rock's going to be and then holding on to that big rock. Friends, we started off with a simple illustration. We talked about putting in the big rocks first. And unless you figure out what these big rocks are, you will not live a happy or successful life. And my prayer for you all is that you figure out, first and foremost, what are the big, big priorities in my life? If you haven't figured this out, this would be a good time to pray and to talk when you go home. What are the big priorities in my life? Because when you figure those things out, it'll be a lot easier to figure out how these little rocks fit around the big rocks. And if you want to be happy, if you want to be the kind of person that God created you to be, then you need to figure out how to put more than your family and more than your friends, you need to figure out how the biggest rock of all, how your faith goes in first. Because this rock right here will determine and dictate everything else in your life. Let's pray. Father, thank you. And I trust that you are working in all of our lives, including myself, Lord. We are all on a journey. We are your disciple. So where we need conviction, Lord, that's okay. Do your work. Remind us of the things that need to be put first. And at the same time, I know you'll remind us of the things that we need to either remove from our life or set to the side. For we ask this in Christ's name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.